as I get closer to where he went off the road, I see a big black shape in the middle of the road walking. So I have to slam on my brakes and try to swerve myself because this thing is walking in the center of the road. Because I don't see a head and I don't see arms. I just see a really big, tall person, like big, thick legs and a big, thick torso. And they're moving very funny.
But to be honest, I wish I had have seen some of her vulnerability. I wish I'd have seen her in that space so that I would have language.
And he says, no. That's not why you're angry. That's why you're mad. Mad is on the surface. Mad is a surface emotion. You're angry. And anger is deep. That cuts to your soul. You are an angry young man. And I couldn't answer. I then had come to realize over the next course of a few hours, I'm musing to myself, and I realize I've been a victim my whole life. That's why I'm so angry. And over the course of the next 19 months, this man changed my life. He helped me to realize about processing emotion and how to forgive myself and forgive others. And that's where the metamorphosis really began for me. And I learned how to, I'm a survivor, right? I know how to survive.
I was understood for the first time in my entire life. And when I read those things and I learned, quote unquote, those things about myself that I had known forever, but never really had the semantics for, I couldn't unlearn them. Like I heard this quote years ago and it resonated with me so much. And it's like, you can choose to look the other way, but you can never again say you didn't know.
All right. Welcome to the Verbal Echo Podcast. Tonight I have Tammy Johnston all the way from Canada up in the, up in British Columbia. So we're going to have a little fun chat. She is what she calls, and I think this is great, the hold your hand and kick your ass business coach. She's been working with small businesses for over 20 years to help them build sustainable and successful businesses. And I'd love to hear her backstory. So I'm going to let Tammy kick it off with that. So yeah, how did you get to this point?
How did I get to this point?
Oh, big point.
Well, that's a loaded question because that's been decades of journey to get to where we are now. But the simplest way, so I was in a job that I absolutely hated and I got called into the boss's office one day and I got fired, and it was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. Because in that moment, I felt this great weight being lifted off of my shoulders. And I went, I never have to work for another creepy, incompetent old man again. I'm finally going to start my business that people have been telling me to do for years and years and years. And in that moment, I made the decision and it was wonderful. And it was riding a high for a little bit. And then I'm going, I have to go home and tell my husband that I don't have a job anymore. But we're about 22 years into it now. And I've been running my business. And my background is actually in financial services. So my first business, the Financial Guides, I've been running since then. And I was started working with a lot of self-employed small business owners. And as I'm going over and helping them get their personal finances stuff all sorted out, I was finding that they had so many issues with their business and things that they just didn't know. And I've been studying money, business, and success since I was like 7 years old because I am a dork. And my background was training agents and marketing and fixing any of their problems and helping them with everything. So I started helping them with their business because I had a greedy, motivated self-interest, because if their business is doing well, then they have money for investments and insurance, which is the stuff that actually gets me paid. And they liked so much what I was helping them with on their business side and the personal side that they started telling all their other self-employed small business friends, and it took off from there. And I started teaching small business class, and I've been doing that for almost 20 years now. And then in 2019, I split my business into two. So I still have my financial planning company, but I also have KSA, where I focus on teaching new businesses the foundational pieces they need to survive and thrive.
So you must be doing something right.
one or two things, right? I've managed to survive and do quite well. And I love it because I get to choose who I work with. I get to work with people that are on missions to do positive, life-changing, wonderful things. I get to set my schedule. I get to determine how much I want to make, what I want to do. I've been able to raise my daughter all throughout this. So yeah, I got fired, started my business, got pregnant. I don't know why women repeat that process. Took 30 hours of mat leave, and I've been going solid since then. My daughter's in her second year of university.
Nice. Isn't it interesting how we hit these roadblocks, like getting fired from a job, and it's really the best thing that can happen?
Oh, it is the
absolute best. When you can look back on it.
Because if he hadn't fired me, I was already interviewing for other jobs, and I would have just gone to another job with a better title, better pay, and would have ended up hating that and being frustrated. And it would have taken me a few more years to finally get pissed off enough on my own to do something about it. Where when he fired me, it was like, I'm done. I do not have to do this anymore. I don't have to do this anymore. And I finally had that kick in the butt to give myself the courage to step out and do what I've been wanting to do for years, but didn't have the confidence, the courage, whatever you want to call it, to be able to do it on my own.
Right. So what kind of businesses do you help people with? Is there a specialty, or is it across the board?
I call the people that work with me the five percenters. There's the ones that are willing to put in the work of learning and doing the stuff. I've worked with everybody from like blue collar trades. Like I've got electricians for clients and plumbers for clients. I've worked with massage therapists and physiotherapists. I've worked with dentists and doctors, retail, restaurants, coaches, salespeople, breweries, like flower shops, chocolate makers, like, and everything in between. Business is business is business. As long as the person that's running the business knows technically what they're doing, the business skills are all transferable. It doesn't matter what the industry is, if it's product, service, any of that. I like, my specialty is the new businesses. Like I like getting them idea stage up to 2 years. Like my favorite to get are what I call the praying for the pink slip crowd, because okay, you've still got the job. We know you want out. Let's start putting things together so that when, if you get lucky enough to get that severance package, that you can, okay, now I'm ready to run with it. Because like I said, I started my business because I was fired, and I came in much, much better prepared than most people because of my background. But there was still so much stuff that I had to learn the hard way and suffer through and survive the first 2 years, where I go, if I could go back and talk to me 1 year before that day and go, okay, Tammy, you're going to start your business. Here's the things you need to start putting in place. Oh, that would have made my life so much easier. It would have saved me so much stress. I would have gotten better sleep. I would have made money an awful lot faster.
Yeah, that's really incredible. It sounds like you have a lot to offer. What kind of programs do you have? I looked on your website's pretty interesting. You guys will have to check it out. You've got different programs. You've got short ones, masterminds, year-long program. You got small business classes. You've got a live and an interactive thing. What else am I missing?
Well, the big thing is, so I want people to go through my weekend small business class, because that gives you all the pieces. It's intense. It's the stuff to launch you. And I've been doing that class for close to 20 years now. But what I have found through many, many years of experience is, yes, people come to small business class and they love it. They think this is great. But if that's all that they do, they go back to normal life the following week with all of the best intentions. and then nothing changes. Like I've done it. I know lots of people, they go to a course, you're going, oh man, this is amazing. This is, I'm going to change my life, going to change my business. And they're all excited and they go back to work and the phone is ringing and the dog just threw up and the cat wants out and the kids need attention and all your to-do list has been stacking up. So you get into it all. And then 6 months later, they're going by their bookshelf and they're seeing their binder from that class they took or that course. And they're going, oh, that was great. Remember all the things we were going to do? And they've done nothing. So I partner it up with a year of group coaching so that they get the support and the habit formation so that they can actually make the changes and get stuff done. Because if it's just a one-off, very, very, very few people ever do anything differently because it's just too easy to get sucked back into the status quo.
Yeah, that's really good. You mentioned, two questions. First of all, the word solopreneur gets thrown around a lot. And you mentioned it in your website. And so I was wondering if you could tell us what your definition of that is and what you think that means. And what's the modern take on that? Because there have been entrepreneurs since forever. Mm-hmm. But how has it changed? Like what's the modern take on it? What's changed now since the pandemic?
Well, the big thing, even just before the pandemic, so when we got hit with the pandemic and the whole world shut down, for me, it didn't really mean anything. Like I'd been running meetings and stuff on Zoom and more of my stuff was going online. So it was barely a hiccup for me. But when I first started my business, 22 years ago, if you were working from home and by yourself, people would kind of look at you funny and going, oh, are you serious? Or different things like that. And then because serious people, they have a brick and mortar business. They have an office downtown somewhere. They're paying overhead. That was the big thing. Where over the last 22 years, especially leading up to the pandemic, more and more people were starting to work from home and setting up their own stuff. And with the internet and being able to market through social media and things like that. And even just looking at my financial business, the insurance companies getting everything set up so I can literally do all of my legal stuff through the internet, things like DocuSign and Zoom and all of this stuff. So people about 10 years after I started my business, because I did actually make the mistake of going and getting an office space for a little while. And then after I said, nope, did that for the 3 years, I'll never do it again. Then people would start to ask, how do you work from home and stuff? How does this work for you? And they thought it was a lot more legitimate. And with more and more of the software, AI is now a big thing. But even before then, wonderful programs like Canva and Zoom and all of this stuff that allows us to work professionally from literally wherever we are so that you don't need to have a huge team. You can hire a VA or a few different VAs for things as you're growing, but there's people and I have clients that literally run their business from wherever in the world they are and they're traveling and able to run a successful business. So solopreneur to me now is, like I said, somebody who can run a successful business and compete with a lot of the big companies with just being them.
I like that. So do you think it changed any? Not for you. It sounds like not for you because you kind of already had your system going. As far as do you think things changed with software?
Oh, they definitely went up an awful lot. The stuff that I can do in Canva, I don't have any artistic ability or anything like that. The stuff that I could do with that, being able to do the stuff in social media you and I met through social media. And that's where I've met many people, clients and podcasters and all sorts of different things. And like I said, from on the legal side, being able to have access to software like DocuSign and things like that, where you can legally have things signed. this has been a major thing. And I'd already started to do an awful lot of my meetings, and it had always been my goal to have all of my classes online, but I was still doing them live and face-to-face. And then I literally, when the world got shut down on March 13th, 2020, I was supposed to be teaching a small business class the following week. And I'm going, well, I can't because everything's been shut down. I guess I need to update my stuff and put it online. It might have taken a few more years otherwise, but I buckled down and put about 60 to 80 hours into update. And okay, how do I make it so I can deliver quality stuff online? And it's been wonderful now, because before I was tied to, okay, just who I can physically reach, to now I literally have clients all over the world.
So it was kind of a kick yourself in the ass.
it was. And there's so many people that have discovered that, yeah, you don't need to be in an office space.
Yeah. When you mentioned overhead, I instantly thought of so many small businesses. There's so much retail space out there available now, and commercial space, mm-hmm. you know, because we have all this software, we have all these things that you can run from a tiny little office in your home. Mm-hmm. You don't need to go drive somewhere, pay rent. And I think that the old way of thinking, like, well, if you had an office, you were legitimate. Like, you must be like doing the right thing, you know. But really, when you look at it, it's kind of dumb for some businesses. I mean,
they do need to have a brick and mortar place, but more and more of them, no, they don't.
Right.
And why sign yourself up for all of that overhead, especially like we saw so much change during the pandemic. There's people that were only brick and mortar and stuff, and a lot of them, unfortunately, weren't able to survive because they couldn't do what they were doing because they're really good at the one thing, but if they can't do it, where people that were able to come up with other options and alternatives and expand their product line, or if they're just service, how do we add different things? How do we still keep in contact with our clients and things like that? They were able to survive. But a lot of people like that are used to working in an office, the office is outdated. It is not necessary.
It's good to hear that. I like that. If we could all just have a nice little room, what do you teach people to do with distractions at home? What do you wish that people would understand about that? Is it about habits? Is it about...
Well, there's a few things. It kind of depends on what is your household situation like. Because like when I first started my business, like you said, it was just me. And then I got pregnant right away, so I didn't have to worry about. But then I had my daughter, and then I'm going, okay, I have to work around having a newborn baby. And I was the food source. Like, she wouldn't even take a bottle. She'd projectile vomit for you if you tried to give her anything except directly right from the source. And so I remember when my business partner, because I did have a business partner right at the beginning, and I'd take her back in a heartbeat, still love her to pieces, but she's gone off to go do her own business stuff. So I help her with that. But we would do, we did all of our marketing in one geographical area of the city that we lived in, so that we would, okay, makes it an awful lot easier. So what we would do, because my husband worked night shift, so he wasn't around in the evening. So we would go see clients, and we targeted all our marketing around the community that she lived in. So what we would do is I would go over, I would feed my daughter, change her diaper, hand her off to her husband, and he would play with her or put her to sleep or whatever. We would go see clients. We'd finish up. We'd have about an hour and a half. Then we'd go back to her place. I'd have to feed my daughter again, change diaper, pass her back to Caleb, go back to see our second set of clients for the evening, then come back. I'd feed her, bring her home, put her to bed, do all of this stuff. And then during the day when I'm having to do things, I had to learn how to work in between feedings and nap time and stuff. And then as she got older, I have to, but now like I could probably leave for a week, and as long as there's food in the house, my daughter wouldn't even notice we were gone. Okay. So how I have to do things now is very, very differently. So like I would do things when my daughter was little, and I'm going, okay, I have to focus. I have to get this stuff done, or mommy's meeting with clients. I say, okay, you pick a Disney movie because I've got all of them. If you can quietly play with your books and watch your Disney movie or whatever, when mom's done, we'll go out and we'll go to playground or do something like that. So as long as I kept my end of the bargain, she was always really good. And I would find different things. If you can ever get an office with a door on it, fortunately, I've always had my own office with a door. So I'm able to, if I have to, put up a sign going, mom's recording a podcast or something, so they leave me alone. Or, okay, I'll be done at this time. If the house isn't on fire, leave mom alone. And there's all sorts of different ways of doing it for dealing with outside distractions like kids and husbands and all of this stuff. One of the things I have to worry about now is I have a big cat that loves to come in and help. And he always has a gift for lying right down on my papers or, okay, how can I make sure that I'm walking in front of your monitor constantly? So, okay, do I need to lock him out? But one of the biggest things that people have the problem with is they are easily distracted because they don't know what they should be working on. So they're going, okay, well, they're like suffering from shiny object syndrome or major cases of procrastinitis. And it's like, what are you working on? And so I'm a huge fan of, we need to plan what you're working on and make sure that you're doing the stuff that's important and that's going to move the needle and ring the cash register, because a lot of people will put way too much time, effort, and money into shiny fluff.
That's a really good point. Yeah. I'm listening for my own benefit too. You have a lot of wisdom and a lot of background. I mean, just coming from being a working mom and, you know, having lived the life and learning how to juggle and all of those things that you mentioned, I was remembering of when I was running businesses, when I had little kids, and it was always like, oh gosh, you know, I have to go lock myself in the bathroom with my notepad, you know, like it was just so funny sometimes, but I would carve out like 5 minutes here or 10 minutes there, you know, like I just made it work somehow. But, yeah, kudos to you for doing this. It's really impressive.
Well, I love doing it, and it's so much fun. And because I work with so many parents, and because I focus on, like I said, the whole person, because you have a business life and you have a personal life, but you only have one life, and they have to work together. And there's a lot of the times that the first 6 months, what we're working on with the business is actually, how do we get your home life under control? Because if your kids are going crazy and you don't get any support and you're constantly chasing, you don't have the time, energy, or mental capacity to focus on your business. So we'll work on getting their family life in a way that actually works properly and takes a lot of the stress off, and they're communicating and supporting one another. And then we can get going on the business, where so many people are focusing on the business, but they can't. It just doesn't work that way when your life is chaos.
Environment and space.
Yes.
Big thing. Yeah. on your website, you mentioned the concept of Kaizen, and it's from, I think it's, was it the Toyota Motor Corporation? I can't remember. But it means change for the better. So I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that and how that kind of fits in with what you teach.
Kaizen is my motto. It is my foundation for everything. Kaizen is a Japanese word that roughly translated means constant and never-ending improvement. And one of the biggest problems people make is they're always looking for the magic pill. If I do this one thing, everything's going to magically get better. I take this one course, everything's going to magically get better. If I take this pill or I drink this tea and I'm going to lose 100 pounds in the next week and there's going to be no problem. They're looking for the magic solution. Magic solution doesn't work. Even when people win the lottery, 85% of lottery winners are bankrupt in less than 5 years because they didn't have the skills, the habits to maintain all that money that they got. So they go back to it. Where with the process of Kaizen, and it is a process, it's what can I do today that's going to move me forward? What is something that I can do today that's going to improve? Because have you ever been fortunate enough to actually see the Grand Canyon in person?
Yeah, I've actually camped out of the bottom of it in a really private area, but yeah.
Oh, very,
it's pretty cool.
A few years ago, my husband and I, we went down to Vegas. I used to go down basically every September for a conference. And my husband came down with me one of the trips, and we went down early before the conference started, and we rented a vehicle because my husband really, really wanted to go see the Grand Canyon. So on vacation, he has me up at 5 o'clock in the morning so we can drive the 5 hours to get to the Grand Canyon. But it was so worth it. We've all seen the Grand Canyon many times on TV and movies and all of this stuff. But I remember standing up at the rim and looking at this beautiful thing, and I'm going, where we were, it was 2 miles down to the Colorado River. And you couldn't even see people. Like, they were even smaller than ants by then. And we're talking to the guides and stuff and finding out. And no one can jump over the Grand Canyon, but anybody that is willing to do it properly and take the time and do it carefully can walk from one rim all the way down to the river and up the other side, where that's Kaizen. It's putting one foot in front of the other. It's being conscious of what you want to be working on. It's learning and getting stronger and going to the gym and practicing your skills and those tiny little things that don't seem to matter in the moment that you're doing them, but they're the ones that are going to get you from point A to point B. Magic pills don't exist.
I like that. They don't.
No.
No one ever got anywhere by not working hard. I mean,
Yes, you do have to work hard. I will never, ever say you don't have to work hard. But the thing is, when you're just focusing on what can I do today, it's not that hard. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Right. Love that saying. So you also mentioned this concept of a roadmap. So I'm wondering what you think about how would someone who's new to a business, that wants to start a business, what does a roadmap to success in general terms look like for someone who has never had a business before, you know, and they have this concept, this idea that maybe they've tested and they know it's going to be successful. They think it's going to be successful, but they've always worked for someone else.
Yep.
So what does a roadmap look like for them?
Well, every person has their own individual roadmap, but there's 8 pieces that are absolutely vital to all and every single business, no matter how big or how small. Mindset, goals and habits, marketing, advisory team, financials, systems, cash flow, and profit. You need to have all of those. And if you're missing one of them or more of them, that is the faster you're going to crash and not succeed. But all of those things are 100% learnable. And what I have discovered through many years of experience, there's 2 basic types of people that typically start businesses. I found 60 to 70% of people that step into the entrepreneurial arena are what I call bunny rabbits. Bunny rabbits are usually really good idea people. They're usually very extroverted. They don't have any problem. They can sell ice to an Eskimo. Like, they love talking to people and all of this stuff. So they're strong there. Where they have their problems is actually delivering on the product or service. Their spaces are usually a mess. Don't even ask them about their financials or taxes or any of that stuff. Like, they just, let's go out and make sales. As soon as they've got the idea finished, a lot of them will drop it. They're not really good finishers. So they need to learn things like the financials and setting up systems and understanding all of that stuff. So they have a different roadmap on things that they need to be learning. And then I found 30 to 40% are what I call the owl types. Owl types, and this is where my strengths are an awful lot more, don't typically ask us to come up with the idea. We're the ones that will make sure everything is fine. We're the knock your socks off on the service. Like, all of, like, our systems are put together. We know what's going on with their numbers. All of this stuff is wonderful. You give us a job, we're going to knock your socks off. Where the owls have the problem is you tell them that they actually have to go out and tell real live human beings about how they can help them, that's going to put them into a like coronary arrest. Like they're not going to do well. So they have to get an awful lot more comfortable with the marketing and putting things out there. And yes, there's everyone in between, but it's like, okay, roadmap is figuring out where are you strong, where are you weak, and where are you not even aware of? And then how do we come up with a plan that is realistic for your life and situation so that we can make your business a reality and that it survives the first 2 years, because most don't, and then can go on to thrive.
So you're looking at the whole person.
You have to look at the whole person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Their family life, their situation, their environment, their skill set that they have, financials.
Everything. Because there's a lot, like, right. Yes, I've worked with a lot of people that are bootstrappers. I was a bootstrapper, and it's a wonderful thing because you learn to be a lot more resilient. You have to think a lot more creatively and stuff like that, but it's also very, very stressful. Mm-hmm. And what are they already doing for job? And how much energy do they have? Like I have quite a few of my clients over the years that have had health issues and they can't play as full on as my normal healthy people that don't have kids and stuff. So it's like, what is realistic for you and what is realistic for you at this stage? Because like I said, the stuff that I could do when my daughter was a baby or a preschooler or you're in school is very, very different than what I can do now.
Right. And then you get into like aging, you know, and your energy level. Like I just know, like when I was in my 20s, man, I had so much energy. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, I have about half of that.
So that just means we have wisdom and we're a lot more selective on where we invest our time, because yes, I had more energy when I was in my 20s too, but I didn't have the knowledge, experience, and wisdom that I do now. So I think it kind of balances out a bit because I'm not like chasing my tail anywhere near as much.
I love that.
Been there, done that. Yes. T-shirt.
I love that. Got the t-shirt. Yeah, that's what I think that's great. And I think that's really empowering to think about your own strengths. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, you might be a little bit older, but look at all the wisdom you have. Yeah. And that's, they were too. Mm-hmm. You're not really wasting your time on things that you know through experience or just a waste of time.
Yep. Or just so aren't going really to work great. For you.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Yeah, this is great stuff. Give us a recap on your programs that you have going on right now. Any upcoming projects, direct us to your website and your socials and that sort of thing. So let us know about that.
So you can always find me at my website. So ksabusiness.ca. So KSA kick some ass business.ca, because I'm a pasty white Canadian chick. You can find me on Instagram at ksa.business. And like I said, my programs are, I want people to go through small business class so that we can cover the stuff, get them ready to launch, or they've already launched, because I've worked with everybody from idea stage up to they've been successfully running a business for 35 years and everything in between. And then we followed up with a year of group coaching to keep you on task and on track. And you can also purchase one-on-one coaching with me to go along with that, so that if people are really serious about getting things going faster and smoother, we throw that in as well.
That's awesome. Do you have any freebies? So, any downloads or anything?
Yes, you can get my solopreneur self-assessment, which is just a little quiz that you can take. Takes a few minutes to figure out where you are in your journey. So where are you strong? What skills do you already come in with? What skills do you need to strengthen? And what skills do you have that you didn't even know you needed?
That's awesome.
You can get that at ksabusiness.ca/gift.
Love it. Kick some ass. I love that. I love your spunk. I mean, you can't see this, but you have so much energy. It's wow. I can see where you get it. So if anyone's interested in checking her out, please jump on over to her website. I want to thank Tammy for coming on. This conversation has really been enlightening, and I want to thank you for your time, and I really enjoyed this.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a great conversation.
Thanks. Hey, thanks for listening today to another great episode. I sure enjoy hearing about these experiences, and I hope you do also. Be sure and like or follow this show by leaving a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. If you have an experience or story you'd like to share, be sure and reach out to verbalecho@gmail.com. See you in the next episode, friends. Have a great week.